Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever have the experience where something really small in your life, something really insignificant if you're honest with yourself, something just not even worth really thinking about, just totally bums you out? You know what I mean? Like some little disappointment, something that is just so unimportant in the greater scheme of things. If you were able to just rationally step back, you know it doesn't matter, you know it isn't that big a deal, and yet it happens, and you're just, You know, maybe you're going to Costco or something, you pull in the parking lot, and you think, hey, I finally found a spot within half a mile. I'm going to pull in that spot. And right then you realize, nope, never mind, there's two motorcycles in that spot. And how are they going to bring anything home? They're on a motorcycle and they went to Costco. You can't do that. That's not physically possible. You need like a U-Haul trailer behind you. You know? Or maybe like, I don't know, you go to the store and you do all of your shopping. For some reason I'm thinking about stores today. You do all your grocery shopping or something like that, and you get through and you've got everything, and you get home and then you realize, oh, right, there was one item I didn't put on the list and it was the one thing I really needed. And you're just like, really? I don't want to go back. Some of you, I don't know, I know a couple of you won't mind this at all, maybe a couple of you will. Sorry, I guess. But I won't deny it. I enjoy a really good beer sometimes. Like a really good local craft microbrew. I'm one of those guys. I like a really good IPA, a really good bitter beer. And this weekend, I got some news that really just bummed me out. There's this local brewery. It's called Elysian. They've got, you know, little restaurants around and whatnot. And I like their stuff. And I just found out that they sold out. They sold out to the, yeah, to Anheuser-Busch, to the people who make Budweiser. And I was so disappointed when I saw that. It's not a great big deal at all. I mean, it's not going to, like, change the world. My life didn't end that day or something like that, you know. I didn't, like, we don't need to go put an obituary in the paper or something. It's not really that big of a deal. But I saw this. I was so bummed out when I saw it. And then in the midst of my being so bummed out about it, I've mentioned to you before that, you know, I, like a lot of people, I go on Facebook sometimes. And I went on Facebook and I had this cousin who had posted about this. He had made a comment about this sale happening, you know, about this local little beautiful brewery selling out to this giant corporation. And his post basically said, "Congratulations! I'm so excited for you guys." You know, he said, it's inevitable. We're moving towards a world where like three or four giant corporations control everything anyway. Congratulations, I'm happy for you. Get yours, get your money. I'm really excited for you. And he made some comment in it about, you know, the world in which it was something like Walmart, Anheuser, Google, Softshell Motors controls the universe at some point. You follow me? His point was about the giant, like, you know, merging of everything so that there's like three or four groups that'll control everything. And as I read his comment, my disappointment and my being bummed out about this sale, it transformed. Because now I wasn't just kind of like down about this silly little brewery situation. Now I was angry. Hear me out. I was angry at my cousin. I was. That was my reaction. I read this and I got angry with him. And I couldn't figure out why at first. I'm like, why is this my reaction? And then it hit me. It was the cynicism of it. That's what I was angry about. I was angry about how cynical he was being about it. I was angry about the idea that he saw this and his response was not to care one way or another, but just to look at it as, well, psh, this is where it's going, people. The world's an awful place. It's only going to get worse. Protect yourself. Protect your family. The cynicism of it. You know what I'm talking about? The cynical. You see that sometimes in the world around us? I know some of you are good longtime church people, to use that term. And so you can't help but at times think about numbers. Sometimes you think about how many people are in worship on a Sunday or how many dollars we bring in with our offerings or something. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I think about that too. I get that. I get the importance of that stuff for keeping the church as an organization running. But I got to tell you, as your pastor, something way more important than that. Way more important than those numbers that concerns me. And that's not the church as an organization, as an institution, as a structure. That's the church as a spreader of gospel. That's the church as a spreader of hope. See what I mean by that? Spreader of hope. I talk a lot to you about the great commission of Christ, the end of Matthew, Matthew 28. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always to the end of the age. And what's the commandment that he says in Matthew? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are messages of hope. Those are not messages of cynicism. Those are not messages of despair. Those are messages of hope, of recognizing there is a point to life, that there is something worth living for. And maybe some of you think I'm making too big a deal out of it, but when I read those words of my cousin, when I looked at other comments that people made when he posted that, I realized how frustrated I was at that cynical attitude. Because it's everywhere. That inability to recognize that, no, life is worth living. Hope is worth having. There is something better possible. We just celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day last week, for crying out loud. Call me crazy, but isn't that at least remarkably similar to the idea of hope? Maybe somewhat connected to the idea of hope? I don't think that man lived his life cynically thinking, you know what? At the end of the day, it just doesn't matter. I don't think he did that, do you? When I look at the life of Christ, I see someone who lived in hope. Hope is more powerful than cynicism. As Christians, we are supposed to be agents of hope. In a world that is sometimes desperate for it. The gospel reading today. Jesus said, you are the salt of the world, right? And you are the light of the world, right? But what is salt? It's not just that stuff that your doctor talks to you about if your blood pressure is high. I'm not there yet, but who knows, maybe someday. Lifetime of misery, that's probably Freudian. Lifetime of ministry, I'm sure someday my blood pressure will be up there. Let's not overanalyze what I just accidentally said. The salt isn't just a flavor. It's a preservative, right? In a good way. To the people of the time of Christ, salt is a reliable way of protecting food. Salt is so important that in ancient times, people go to war over it. It's so important that it's used as money. Can you imagine being paid in salt? Let's stop and have a tangent for a moment. Think about that. You finish your work day and your boss says, "Good job, poor. Here you go." And yet that happened. Because salt is so important. We need it. It's literally life-giving. Blood pressure joke aside, you have to have it in your body or you will die. And you are the light of the world. Actually, let's go back to salt for a moment. Something else about salt. Some of you I know have a medical background, right? How often do you use saline? Salt water, basically. We use it to clean. We use it to heal. If you have a wound, what's the first thing you do? You wash it out, right? When I was sick, I needed to use some saline in my nose to keep things going the way they should. So now we talk about light. You're the light of the world. Human bodies are weak. Human bodies are frail. How many of you have a motion sensor outside your house? Like nighttime, like a motion sensor light or something? Or if you don't, maybe you just at least have a light on at night. Do you flick on a light in your porch or something? Your deck? I'm not going to go case your house, so don't be afraid to admit one way or the other. We don't put those lights on because light is scary. Right? You don't set a light to go on at night because the light goes on and all of a sudden you're terrified and you don't want to leave the house because, there's light out there. When we think of light, we think of safety. We think of security, comfort, hope. That's what we are called to be if we are going to call ourselves Christians. Agents of hope, agents of light. Agents of safety. There's like, what, 8, 12 different Beatitudes in there? You could spend an entire sermon going every single one. Blessed are the, etc. And I've already talked for a bit, so I'm not going to go through them all. But I do want to talk about one. Blessed are the peacemakers. Did you catch that in the middle of it? Blessed are the peacemakers. It's an active word. It's an active word in English and it's an active word in the Greek. Peacemaker. Not blessed are the peace finders. Blessed are the peace wishers. Blessed are the peace hopers for. Oh, I hope someday we have peace. It'd be a nice dream. Blessed are the peacemakers. In a world where cynicism is so prevalent, we are called to be something better. We are called to be something deeper. We're called to speak out against that idea of why bother? and to live. Now I'm going to sound like I'm quoting the Seahawks. Why not? Why not?
Amen.
Next week, people. We are called to fight against cynicism with hope, with faith. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil verses against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. What is a prophet? Speaker of God's truth. In a nutshell, what is a biblical prophet? A speaker of God's truth, a proclaimer of God's truth. We are called to be prophetic. Jesus doesn't just say to the hearer, he doesn't just say to us, I hope your life stinks like the prophets. That's not what he says. I hope you get oppressed like the prophets. I hope people beat you down and don't listen to you just like the prophets. He says, act like one. Be like one. Be prophetic. Be a truth teller. Be a peacemaker. Even when it's uncomfortable. To be kind of cheesy, make the world a better place. It's like when they talk about backpacking. Leave it better than you found it. And in doing so, even cynics like my cousin will have to stop and take notice. Let us pray. Holy, good, and gracious God, in a world with so much anxiety and so many opportunities to be disillusioned, help us to find hope and faith in you. Help us to find direction and purpose. Help us to recognize that your message is a message of love and peace. And help us to be willing to step out into that message and share it with others. Help us to do it when it is uncomfortable and even when it is dangerous and scary. Help us to grow in you, to better reflect the light that you call us to be. We pray all this trusting in your holy name. Amen.